Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiya, before we get into this podcast, please consider joining us on Red Men Plus. We have tons of amazing content coming out every single day in both podcast and video form. So get over there and sign up today. Now back to your podcast.
Hello everyone, it is the build-up show. Champions League returns, Liverpool return, and I return too, alongside Dan Clubb and Mick Moran for this one. We're going to be taking on Rangers Tuesday night. Yeah, we're going to dive into the shit show that is Liverpool Football Club in a moment. But before we do, I just want to draw your attention to the fact that we are closing in on 500,000 subscribers. If you haven't already subscribed, we have been on a monumental journey the last 12 minutes. We're heading in on 13 years on YouTube, which is absolutely unreal. But yeah, we're very, very tantalisingly close to 500,000 subscribers. So if you listen to this on Acast or on Spotify or on whatever people listen to on Apple things, then you can come over and subscribe just to get us to there. If you're on YouTube and you're watching, you haven't done so already, then yes, click that subscription button. And if you want to click the bell as well, then why not be notified when we go live and all that good stuff. But yeah, the road to 500k, we've got some massive things coming up for you guys. And as mentioned ahead of the show, we've got a signed Ibrahima Konate Liverpool home shirt, which Chloe nearly ended herself sprinting to get him to sign for us and for you. So yeah, we'll be giving that away when we reach the milestone of 500,000. So yeah, let's get us there. Some of the cool stuff as well, which we'll reveal when we cross that threshold. Right. Dan. The limited consolation to the last couple of days is that when we were shit in August, we had to wait a week until we played. Now we've only had a couple of days to really sit and stew on it.
I like how we found that minor positive out of all this. I didn't expect that coming in there, and I sat down and seen that and I thought, yeah, that's something, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, it's the counterpoint to what we were saying in August was, we've got to wait a week till we put this resume. Yeah. We've got to sit and remonstrate.
The flip side of that is I sat here about this time last week saying, oh yeah, we're boss when the games come thick and fast and I can't wait for this. And we normally get out of these sort of periods smelling the roses and away we go. And Saturday kind of said, that's not going to happen this time, is it? Yeah. But yeah, listen, you are right. A few days to stew on it. Players should be wanting to put it right, I guess, straight away. Jurgen Klopp's obviously just done his press conference, wasn't happy after the game Saturday. You know, the players should be chomping at the bit to get back out there, I guess, because it is only a few days ago and Anfield night in Europe, it's all there.
Yeah, and exactly, this is the thing, isn't it, Mick, is that it's Rangers now. It's Rangers back-to-back. It's in ideal that there's a lot of other things going on, which we can discuss, you know, as much or a little detail as we fancy. But there's no escaping. It's 6 points there. You know, you've got to go and get 6 points against them. But there is a little having that extra juice around it isn't ideal at this time, particularly the fixtures Liverpool have got around the Champions League games as well in the next couple of weeks. But I take Dan's point. What are we doing if we can't sit here and say, you know, Liverpool playing the worst team in the group at home isn't a game that Liverpool should be have a favourable chance of winning, then we may as well all pack up.
Yeah, it's just one of them. Like I said, the game's coming thick and fast, should suit us, but at the moment in time, we're just like dreading the next game, which is not ideal. But like I said, Rangers, yeah, two games against them in a row, so it should be 6 points. But just the way we're playing, you're not going into it thinking this is a banker I'm saying that in the nicest way possible, a banker. We should be beating Rangers, but the form that we're in at the minute, you're looking at it going, we need to just be starting the game as well, because at the minute, like first 20 minutes against Brighton, like, oh my God, yeah. Like just absolutely car crash footy, and it needs to change, whether it's tactically or just like absolutely just doing something that just wakes the players up a little bit. We need to do something.
Listen, if it's part of the grand overarching masterclass to stop teams from parking the bus against us because they may as well just attack us because they'll win or at least draw, then this is great.
You know, we put it into play now, though, if that is the case. Yeah. Can we stop giving this false sense of security and start doing it?
But that's the thing about this game for Rangers. What I guess the hope is, I don't even know where the hope is at this point, because I wouldn't mind a team just parking the bus and doing nothing against us, and because it feels like forever since we've had that sort of task. Everyone's kind of coming at the go at us this season, and I don't see why Rangers won't do exactly the same thing, Dan. They will put best foot forward and try and get something from the game.
Yeah, 100%. They should do, because it's a bit of a free hit for them in many ways. You obviously want to touch on their form, if you like, in inverted commas. They have had a hammering for the first two games. I mean, their form in Europe prior to this group stage was actually really good. They did well to qualify, really. They beat PSV Eindhoven in the qualifiers. That was an achievement in itself, to get back into the Champions League proper after years. But yeah, there's no reason for them not to come to Anfield and have a right good go, because obviously they've seen our frailties. They've just won 4-0 in the Scottish Premiership on the weekend. Why not? Like, they should just come and have a right good go at us with nothing to lose, because realistically the chances of them getting out of this group are done and dusted already. Mm-hmm. The group's that difficult, it looks like, now already, and it's that sort of tight between the top three that third place looks like it might be gone for Rangers already, as silly as that is to say. Yeah. So they may as well come to Liverpool and have a go at us. And in previous eras, I've said that's the best thing possible for us. I love it when teams come and have a go, but now it fills me with a little bit of trepidation, like you say. Yeah. So it's a difficult one.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing where Liverpool have to be extra careful with them, is that a Rangers team with nothing to lose or nothing to play for but pride, and they're not there yet. This might be more relevant for next week, Mick, but if in those kind of situations, those kind of environments, Liverpool are just the biggest scalp going in this for them, because so what, they get knocked out the group, you know, ideally, yeah, they'll want to end up in the Europa League if possible, but if they go out the Champions League, haven't got back into the Champions League after donkey's years, and they've managed to land one on Liverpool, that'll almost be seen, and you know, maybe for old school Rangers fans who want more, but for a generation of Rangers fans, this will be seen as a huge moment in the football club's history.
Yeah, it'll be a victory for them in itself, like you said, because they're not going to get through on the face of things in terms of where they are in the group at the moment. But yeah, like I said, Liverpool just need to sort themselves out. Like you said, Rangers will just come here and be like, well, just copy what everyone else is doing, like long balls over the top, find the gaps in the midfield like everyone's been doing, and I imagine they'll come out and try and do the same to us like everyone else has been doing, because like you said, both rightly said, they've got nothing to lose, they might as well just go for it, and we've got to try and figure out we're going to start actually playing footy now, because we've had a massive gap. We thought the Brighton game was going to be the game where, right, this is where we're going to, massive break here, been training on the training field, players back from injury, you're like, this is where we're going to kick on. It's like, what's going on? So it needs to happen at some point. It's just waiting for that game where it's going to happen.
Well,
man,
we kind of thought we'd done it. You know, we thought Bournemouth was going to be it. We thought Ajax was going to be it.
False dawns, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing that leaves you on such unsteady footing when you're talking about these games, is that we're dead right. We should be sat here going, oh, well, we're going to piss. We'll piss this, because it's Rangers. And let's be honest, Rangers are crap. You know what I mean? And they're not. You know, the second in Scottish Premier League, they're a couple of points off the top, only because one draw difference between them and Celtic.
Yeah.
Obviously, Gerrard got them up and running. Gio van Bronckhorst has done a brilliant job kind of continuing that on from him. So when I say the crap, I mean I'm not in the pure banterous football, you know, let's have a bit of disrespect for disrespect's sake sense. But what I really mean is there's a gulf in levels between being second in the Scottish Premier League and being where Liverpool are at in the Premier League, generally speaking, less so this season. This should be a game where Liverpool turn up, and it probably will be. But what's been lacking from Liverpool is, or not been consistent enough from Liverpool, Dan, is just that desire to win. You know, we've got Arsenal to come, we've got City to come. I think we'll go into those games, you know, you want to go into those games fully pumped and fully motivated. But I don't know whether it's just me, but I feel like there's a sense of, like, if we just go through our general motions, we'll win most football games. And there's enough evidence to suggest this season that's just simply not the case.
No, 100%. And this is a game where, sort of, if everything had gone to plan, even on the weekend, we could have been looking at rotating players, maybe bringing some players out from the cold, getting some minutes into some legs. Can't afford to do that right now, because every game at the minute, A, the result is crucial in terms of the group, there's no getting away from that. But B, in terms of, like, confidence levels and shit, even in the fan base, like, we're talking here, like, little bit of worry, a bit of concern about how we're playing, and even going into a game whereby these Rangers, they're not daft, like, the fans aren't stupid. they're a good side in the Scottish Premiership, but there are levels to this. And the calibre of players, even from the Europa League last year and the exploits in that, were brilliant. But when you go to Ajax, Napoli, and then a bigger step up again, what should be, to Liverpool, they're aware of where they are in the pecking order, you know what I mean? So there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, in terms of Liverpool perspective, every game now, we're almost looking at it going again, that false dawn thing. Oh, it needs to kick into gear there. Will it kick into gear here? It has to happen this time. And we've got to go, jumping the gun again, strongest 11 because of that.
Yeah.
Like, realistically, I would have loved to have seen us make some changes and ring some rotation. Can't do it.
Well, we've clearly started from the weekend managing for this run of games. That's the reason why Shimikas comes off, it's the reason Henderson comes off. It's not because they genuinely thought James Milner was going to make a massive impact playing from left back. We're trying to see our way through a tight run of games. But you're right, we're in danger of being at that point as fans where we don't give a shit for the welfare of the players at this point.
Yeah.
Care more about the welfare of the players when we're winning.
But at the minute,
I totally agree with Dan, is that Liverpool just needs to worry about these other things. We need to earn the right to be able to worry about them, and you can rotate a bit more when you've actually got your season up and running.
Yeah, and it's a vicious circle, like you said, Dan. Like, you want to play these players every game, but then they're not playing well anyway, but then you want to give them a rest, but we're not winning any games. You're constantly in a vicious circle. Like, these players need rest, like quite a few of them, to be fair, but we just can't afford for it to happen 100%. At the minute, because we need points on the board. Champions League, we need points on the board and on the Premier League as well, but it's just one of them. We need to start stronger in Rangers, and then obviously the away leg is going to be, the away game is going to be even more difficult at their place. But yeah, it's just trying to manage these games, because there's a lot, they're going to come thick and fast, aren't they? But we just need to try and find a way of how we can rotate it. Obviously, like you said, the Milner and the Milner change and whatever, that was obviously pre-planned. I don't think it fit in with how the game was going in terms of, like, maybe gave us a bit of a, I don't know, it didn't help our momentum, I don't think, in terms of what we were trying to achieve in the Brighton game. But in terms of, like, obviously trying to keep players fit, it did work in terms of, trying to keep players' legs at least half full. But this one, we need to go again, and hopefully, just like I said before, just start the game well. It's the worrying thing for me is, like, we're saying, like, basic, very basic things here, like, just start the game well, just put a tackle in early doors, get the crowd going, like, just stuff like that needs to happen, and it's not happening at the moment.
No, that's right, because it's so obvious. I mean, think back to the Arsenal game at Anfield last season. It's just a Klopp and Arteta have a bit of a clash, and all of a sudden Anfield's a light, and that really adds to it. But you're seeing, like, Spine Copper coming out and saying, like, well, you know, let's get everyone in, let's get the flags and banners. It shouldn't need to be said. And I actually, the problem is, of course, is I think everyone needs to pull together. I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that the whole Holy Trinity and all that kind of stuff. But most of it is coming from the pitch. It's the players, you know, and I think Klopp recognises that as well. He said that in his past. You know, in the past, the fans can help get us over the line, and they can drag us through the shit at times, but there are certainly, it does stem from the footy. It stems from seeing that those lads on the pitch are giving absolutely everything for you. I was just baffled at the weekend, you know, like, because I thought we started okay, and it was one of them where it was like, we're a goal down, oh, well, never mind, oh, we're two goals. It didn't feel like we had an idea how that came about to us. And, you know, all you want to see in when it worst comes to worst is a lad going out there and fighting and dying for the shirt. And look, it's Rangers, it's got all that there for you laid out. Hopefully that's just that extra edge, because I would worry if we were playing any number of the fourth teams in the Champions League, like Victoria Plzeň, for example, I would be a little bit concerned about our levels of motivation for this one, whereas it being Rangers should be that. That's something.
You are right, though, because Jurgen Klopp in the past has delivered these call to arms in the build up to games, like any game, but that's usually when the players have been doing the business on the pitch as well, and he wants that extra sort of 10% from the crowd if he can get it. Like, the crowd at Anfield, we all know, can be hit and miss, to be honest. Domestic European tends to be a big swing in that. But for this one, he hasn't really done that, and he hasn't done it all season, because I think he knows, like you rightly say, it's not really the fans doing their bit. Like, we're there, we're supporting these lads, nobody's really getting on the back. It's the players aren't giving us anything really to get behind of any notes, like, other than the Bournemouth game, which seems to be the outlier really, doesn't it, in terms of before. We've had a couple of late winners here and there, that great moments, but in terms of performances, there's nothing really more the fans could have done.
It's the belief that's fading. That's the hard, that's the hardest part, and that's very hard to recapture. And it's, look, it's recaptured by winning win three games back to back. But I thought, I was quite shocked by the game at the weekend, that how many people again poured out of the ground before injury time had even begun. You know, we're not that many weeks from Newcastle. We're certainly less weeks to Ajax. We're two late wins at Anfield in the last month. And I thought there would be something there, but that's what they need. We need to be careful of. Liverpool, obviously, fans need to stick around. There's always going to be, I'll level this out. There's always people for whom we will always leave early. There's always going to be those people, and whether it's a minute or two, I don't agree with leaving. If there's 5 minutes of injury time and you leave them a minute before the 90, 6 minutes is far too much time to get yourself out the ground. I'm sorry, but you know, but there's not an excuse for that many, and that falls down to belief, and it needs to be down to fight. And again, it just needs to be, for me, you've just got to demonstrate that these lads are going to run through a brick wall from minute one till minute 90, whatever, and make that this is what this represents, because we're going into the probably the two hardest fixtures we're going to have before Christmas around these Champions League games with Arsenal and City. And if we haven't got belief going into them games, you know, we're already behind them in the league, they're already behind them in form. There's going to be even more riding on that game, because it's going to be exacerbated by our own fears.
Yeah, and maybe this is just like a little change we need, like a change of competition. Champions League, get obviously under the lights at Anfield, get the juices going, and obviously hopefully get a good performance, good win, and just make those little tiny baby steps. Because I think Klopp referenced it today. He was like, it's one of those that we need to just keep working. And he wasn't like referencing any drastic changes. It was more like, we're just going to keep doing the same thing. Obviously try and make us a bit more rigid, a bit more... Yeah, not just slice through us so easily like teams have been doing. So obviously we'll hopefully start to see signs of that and make us a little bit better defensively, which will then in turn make us better going forward, because we won't be picking the ball out the back of our net like every 50 minutes. But yeah, we just need to. It's just those baby steps we need to keep doing. And this is obviously is a big one. I think the Man United game was the first time after the game where I was like questioning like the work ethic and the desire, and it was like, I can't believe that that's the thing at Old Trafford after the game, which is mad.
Well, lots of people have been talking about it, but the intensity just hasn't been there so far this season, and that's the I talked about before. That's your barrier for entry to this Liverpool side. If you don't work hard, you don't get in the team. Mm-hmm. Whereas people are getting in the team who aren't working hard, you know, but everyone's collectively got to do it, and all it does is you're ruining the players who do. Because all of a sudden you're chasing down lost causes. I mean, you saw the equalising goal for Brighton. It's like Salah putting a press on, gets it kind of wrong. Yep. But all of a sudden the house of cards comes crumbling down, because it's systemic. It's throughout the entire team that needs to be reborn, and then trust that the rest will come on top of it. The only caveat to all of this, of course, is that the final's in Istanbul, which is a thing that's definitely somehow weirdly in our favour. And I was saying to Chris as we were walking away from the ground at the weekend, that it's got a bit of a hallmark of like those Chelsea seasons, where they start off trying to do something different under a manager and it doesn't work, but by the back end of the season they kind of go back to their old way of playing and then normally lift the European trophy at the end of it. Now hopefully we can do that whilst keeping the manager in position, to be perfectly honest. But I agree with Mick's point there, that you know, it being Europe, it doesn't feel different to us, but it will feel different to the players. It's a different vibe, it's a different tempo, it's a different atmosphere, and hopefully it's something that plays into our hands. Right, we're going to be discussing who starts for the Reds in a little bit, but we are sponsored by Betmate, who have kindly jumped over to the midweek Champions League for us this week to give it a little bit more juice. We decided Brighton was boring, who knew? So we're going to be doing it for Rays this week, but we're going to be picking our teams in part two. But before, I'm just going to keep everyone updated on the concept and where we're at in our head-to-head league table thus far. So we've basically got me, Steve, and Chris going up against the guests. The two gentlemen with me are going to be picking their team for the Rangers game later on. Have we got the league table, Simon? Yeah, there we go. So Pajak rules the roost at the moment, 236.5 points. I'm in second place on 226. The guest account is currently in third on 223.5. And Steve propping up the table, yet to win a single penny in Betmate, 215 points. Pajak leads the way with 45 quid so far, followed by me on 16.15. The guests have picked up 15 and 8 pence. Basically, the broad stretch of the game is you download the app, you log in, If you use the code REDMEN5 to sign up as well, you pick your 7-a-side team based from, in this instance, it's the one game, and again, it's weekly play as well, so you can go in. You can only have a maximum of 6 from a given team, so you've always got one other player in your starting team as well. So it is fascinating. We'll do more when we do pick through our team later on, but yeah, that is that. Hopefully I can catch up to Chris this week. Short break, trivia question before we do that. I want you guys to name the 3 Premier League era transfers between Liverpool and Rangers. After this.
Hey, you wonderful podcast listener. Get back to the show very, very shortly. Just want to give you a heads up about our merchandise store, redmenmerch.com. Go over there, check it out. Some amazing t-shirts, books, gifts, absolutely everything you need for the Liverpool fan in your life, or indeed just to treat yourself. So yeah, head on over to redmenmerch.com. Check out the amazing products that we've got on offer. I'm sure you'll love them, and I'm sure you're going to love the rest of this show too.
Okay, so I asked you the question before we went to the break. Name me the 3 Premier League era transfers between Rangers and Liverpool. I think you've managed to get two of them.
Yeah.
Who are?
Danny Wilson.
Danny Wilson was the last player to transfer from Rangers to Liverpool.
Ryan Kent,
a 7.5 million transfer from Liverpool to Rangers. Missing one.
I think I've just remembered that. Is it Ben Davies?
It is Ben Davies.
Of course it's Ben Davies. No, I'll never remember that man. Yeah. No matter what he does, I'll never remember
bless
him.
Yeah, God, yeah, of course it is. Absolutely bless him. Yeah, it's funny because we've just literally been going like, Vigneault? Who didn't transfer directly. He did play for both. But yeah, Ben Davies, is the most recent thing to happen. Never obviously played a senior game for Liverpool. What I thought was just out of interest, because they're the transfers directly, but in terms of double agents, there's tons. You know, this is our first competitive game against Rangers, but there's loads of players who've played for both. Charlie Adam played for both. Eladji Diouf, I had no idea there, according to this. Ovie Ejaria, we knew. John Flanagan, of course. Obviously, Ryan Kent has mentioned. So, Tyrios Kyriakos played for Rangers. Jordan Rossiter, of course. Shea Ojo. Graeme Souness, Greg Vigneault, as mentioned. Mark Walters was actually the second most recent transfer from Rangers to Liverpool. That was back in 91. So there was a gap between Danny Wilson and Mark Walters that takes you all the way back to there. So yeah, quite a few players in there, really interesting stuff.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, sound, yes. Let's dive into it. Injuries. So at the moment, Jones, Cater, Ox, all still out. Cater and Ox, obviously, the long-term ones. No one really knows what's happening with Curtis Jones. It keeps getting mentioned. Robbo is still out for this one. Slightly better news, which remained true for last weekend's game, of course, but Calvin Ramsey is in training. He is a real footballer. he's real. We might be able to see him play football at some point. That's very exciting. Ibrahima Konate, Jesus, is back in training. It was a bit of a surprise, then, actually, that he wasn't even on the bench at the weekend, which I guess kind of leads you to think they're just being extra careful with him. Hopefully it's not a recurrence, because we saw that with Jones, who was in the Derby squad and then disappeared obviously the week before, and then he missed out the Derby squad. The point is, fingers crossed, it's just they're making sure that when he's back. And you're messing around.
No, I think that is the case. You don't want to sort of bring him into the squad, get him involved at all, and then have anything even minor happen. He's so important to us in terms of being able to rotate and being able to use him. And we've seen last season, and we've all said it, the games he was involved with tended to be the more important, bigger games, quite frankly. He was involved in sort of the business end of the season. So you don't want to take any risks when it comes to him. It'd be nice to see him involved here. You get more substitutes on the bench, obviously, in Europe. You're allowed to name 12, and obviously still allowed five, allowed to use them. It'd be nice to see a bit of him, because we have definitely missed him. It's amazing to think we haven't actually seen him this season. It was a Strasbourg pre-season friendly, got injured, and he hasn't kicked the ball in anger since. Yeah. As for Ramsey, this would be a really nice game to get him minutes in, wouldn't it? Because obviously coming from Aberdeen, wasn't it? Obviously Will have played Rangers quite a few times in the past, so would be good to get him involved. And it's he's had a tough start, obviously, with injuries. Never nice to move to a new club and not be able to get hit the ground running, if you like. But with the whole Trent thing, like, I'm not suggesting for 1 second there's an argument to drop Trent for Ramsey, but he would have got minutes. Like, we definitely would have seen a fair amount of him between now and the start of the season. So there's an opportunity there. But yeah, I think just sort of bulking out this squad and even some of the lads you mentioned there is really important for us.
That's it, because where we're at, Mick, is, and this is what I hoped would be the point going into Brighton, is lads are back now. They've had a bit of a break, you mentioned before, extra time on the training ground, all that stuff. But we still saw the limits. You know, Jordan Henderson doesn't come off in that game, and Kostas don't come off in that game under normal circumstances. But they are being protective of certain footballers, they're kind of having to be. You know, hopefully now with another game under the belt. Fucking hell. I hear myself saying it. I do. I genuinely know. I hear what I'm saying. I understand. I do. Red tinted glasses and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, fucking fuck it, we're in. The excuses of what I'm kind of driving at, the excuses are dwindling here. You know, this lad, people are closer to speed. Jota should be ready for this game now. Henderson should be fully ready for this game now. Tsimikas has had a little bit of a rest as well, so we've managed to take care of him. There should be no one that we shouldn't be able to call upon as much or as little as we need them to, who of the ones who we know are available.
Yeah, and obviously Diaz, Nunes and Jota all started on the bench, didn't he? Because obviously Klopp said that he'd been told basically not to play them or not to start them anyway. So they are all in contention to start, especially that this is a big game for us. We need points on the board in the Champions League. So this is a good one to get those type of players in. And like you said, it's a shame we haven't got Robbo, and obviously Ramsey's back. I don't want to imagine he's not starting.
But
it would have been nice to have two Scottish fellas on the flanks in a game like this, just for pure, like,
give him another week,
just for pure quiz, for the quiz question about 15 years, which two fullbacks. But yeah, it's nice to have people back, like you said, Paul. So just need to get these players back up to speed as quick as we can. Like, Jota being back's huge. Nunes obviously still hasn't played that much, but he's still getting a load of shit online, basically, because he's
but Liverpool are the crisis club at the moment, so everything is exacerbated, and our own emotions are part of that, of course, because we all acutely feel it. I honestly, the thought of having to come in and talk about Liverpool is just oh god, because I need Liverpool to win, because then I hear it in I'm saying things I'm having to go through. It's like rewinding the clock a decade, where you're going, oh well, if they just work hard, it'll
you're
all
clutching for something, aren't you, all the time?
And it's easier to clutch when you've got Klopp, and it's easier to clutch when you've got world class footballers, which is the significant difference from now to a decade ago. But it's hard graft. We just need Liverpool to win football matches, because it's so much easier to talk about things when they're doing
it. Not only that, we haven't done it for so long as well. We have been so fortunate and so blessed to have Jurgen Klopp and this brilliant squad of players that we haven't had to have many of these conversations for a few years now. The early days of Klopp were, we could almost see what he was trying to achieve, and we allowed that period of grace because he was new and we could see something coming, like I say. So we didn't really have it then. It was way before that. It was Hodgson, dread to say it, Hodgson and even Rodgers to a certain extent, sort of years whereby we're like, we're having these conversations, we're just clinging on to any little bit of hope that we possibly have. And you are right, it's a lot easier now with Klopp because he's got a proven track record of being successful with us. And he's also got a proven track record of guiding us through these tricky periods. Like, we all remember all them games we kept getting beat at Anfield in the COVID year, which wasn't real footy, but that's a different conversation. But even then, he managed us to guide us through, and he looked, you know, utterly depressed throughout it all, and quite rightly so for lots of reasons, by the way. But he guides us through that, and obviously through the Alisson header, we managed to get third, and I think that gives us a little bit of hope as Liverpool fans, because he's done it before.
Yeah, and also because a lot of people are making this whole 7-year thing with Klopp. Whereas the final year at Dortmund is an experience that he's gone through as well, and having the courage and convictions to stick it out and find a way through will be a big thing. One thing I'm seeing, I want to get your thoughts on this. I'm seeing a lot of people talk about change of formation. Now we've just gone through a month of people saying we need to move to 4-2-3-1. Now everyone's saying we need to move to 3 at the back. Mm-hmm. Thoughts, Mick?
I mean, I don't see it Klopp doing it. It's definitely an option. I mean, on paper, it looks really good, to be fair. You've got throw Van Dijk in the middle, you've throw Matip on the left and Konate on the right, and I think that'll be really well, but I just don't see, it doesn't seem like a Klopp type move. It's more of like the slightest tweaks he likes to do in a 4-3-3 or to a 4-2-3-1. It's more, he likes to have that midfield more stacked out in the defence. Obviously, he prefers a 4 at the back. He doesn't really prefer a 5 at the back or a 3. So,
it's my overall issue with the change of formation thing. It implies to me that you know you've fucked it. Mm-hmm. And you're telling the world you've fucked it. And you're also then moving to a system that you've not played before. And it's nowhere, therefore, you're nowhere near as versed in it. And all the work you've done up to that point is lost, effectively. Yep. Because you're starting from scratch, and you're starting from scratch in the middle of a season. And Brendan Rodgers did this in 14-15 when he moved to 3 at the back, and he went 3-4-3, and we had a little spell where we were better, but then it got figured out. And when it gets figured out, you actually can't get better than that, because your opponents almost know how you play better than you know, because you've not had the time on the training ground to work it out. So I agree with Mick in so much as I look at it and go, a Matip, Van Dijk, Konate, back three. I mean, you're not getting a better back three in terms of, you know, height and base and quality than that. And it makes sense that it gives Trent less responsibility defensively. But I don't know, it feels like teams that play three at the back are teams that are just, and same with 4-2-3-1 for me, and not just teams not good enough to play 4-3-3. Now, you could argue we're not good enough to play 4-3-3 at the moment.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I sit on it.
You're 100% could, yeah. But Jurgen Klopp is not the type of person, character or manager to sort of throw the baby out of the bathwater because of this, in my opinion. He's the opposite of that. He's one of his traits, in my opinion, is his stubbornness. And we see it when he makes even just debatable team selections. Yes. He won't change it because he believes the team he's put out is the right team. And then his substitutions leave a lot to be desired. Sometimes we all question that. We sit around here, we do it. So he's not going to change formation because of this little period. And in my opinion, rightfully so. I get there's no three centre-backs you named at world class each individually, and it would be an incredible formation for lots of reasons. But I think your point, Paul, in that the problem would be you're doing it mid-season, and then when it wasn't quite working, it wasn't quite going your way, all the minutiae we have with the 4-3-3 have been able to sort of in-game just tinker things. We wouldn't have that with this new formation. This would be sort of like a carte blanche. That's what we play now.
Yeah.
What we've done for years and years to develop, this is how we react to this situation, that situation. You can't do that now.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not possible. And nobody sort of saw this coming, and Klopp quite clearly didn't either, but he's not about to sort of say, okay, well, we don't do that anymore. That's not his style at all.
Yeah. No, that's the thing, is that we forget, and it's easy to look for sweeping changes when things aren't working. And it might be the right, look, it might ultimately be the right thing, but it's what you lose when you change those kind of things. And it's like when you make loads of signings as well, and you have lots of churn in your squad, it's the imperceptibles you lose, it's those fine margins. And look, as I say, Mick, we feels like we've kind of lost them already, so I can totally empathise with the idea of, well, if we've lost them already, we may as well put ourselves in a formation that gives us a bit more defensive stability. But yeah, I think Klopp will feel like they're closer to figuring it out in what they do. As we talked about, it's an incremental change, it's a slight tactical shift, we'll get them up and running rather than having to make a wild one and then build again from scratch.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, on paper it would be very tasty to watch. I think like Konate being right side of a three and just being boss like he always is, because he always covers that side of the pitch anyway when he plays in a four anyway. But yeah, it's going to be like you said, Paul, incremental changes, and I think it's one of those that once we start, it's simple as once we start playing well and picking up wins. Obviously, this will all be forgotten about because it's a confidence thing as well. It's a confidence thing, but it's an energy thing. There's a lot of things mixed in there. But it's when we start getting players just start putting the ball in the back of the net, then we'll start be like, well, we know where we're going with this formation now. We can decide it ourselves in game a bit better, because when they're struggling, it seems like everyone's head just go, like you said with the Brighton equaliser. It was just one movement. Everyone was just like basically just fell over, and it was like, yeah, you might as well score now.
Well, because it's a negative cycle, and it's all linked, because you mentioned there, this team loves fighting through the pain, but when it's not working, you will psychologically go, why am I putting myself through the pain? I already hurt. Why would I go deeper? You know, I don't think he's pulling his weight. Well, why should I go a little bit more? And there's a chicken and egg style to it. Like, you need to kind of win, but in order to win, everyone's going to pull together and hurt more. But in order for everyone to pull through and hurt more, they've got to know that it's going to work. So you've got to have some wins under your belt in order to do that. And that's what Liverpool are fighting against. And the longer it goes, the harder that's going to be to recapture, but hopefully Rangers is a good place to start. I want to just get from you, so who do you think from the weekend has to go again, Dan?
Well, I mean, Virgil van Dijk,
yeah,
for a start. Obviously, Alisson's at a shoe-in. He was one of the few to come out of that game with sort of any sort of resemblance of a performance, if you like. But yeah, van Dijk's our Trent. We've already said with Ramsey, like, he's closer, but he's not ready, so he's got to start again.
Would there be something in here? Because it is Rangers.
Joe Gomez.
Yeah, yeah, Gomez or Milner. I know there'll be eye rolls at that, because there always is. But, you know, we actually do now have, especially if Konate's back. Because, by the way, just the last point, on the three at the back, we don't own enough centre-halves to play three at the back.
No.
Because given how robust our centre-halves are, having to play an extra one every week is just a recipe for fucking disaster.
We're minutes away from Nat Phillips. There's nothing wrong with that, because I love Nat Phillips. He's but not, we are
he's
we are far away.
To play the top level. Like, but, you know, consistently anyway for Liverpool. But the Trent stuff...
Yeah.
We have finally now got the ability. It's not Calvin Ramsey, but...
There's options. Yeah, there are options, 100%. I would put him in the category of having to go again. Even for his own... If it's a fitness thing, that's a different conversation altogether, but I'm not sure it is. I think it's a mentality thing. You've just both spoke about confidence there, and I think a huge part of Trent's problems in a minute are down to confidence. And for me, I would be asking him to go again and again until it starts to happen for him. Genuinely. And I know that sounds crazy. It's almost like people having a mini go at Klopp now for just saying, oh, we ask him to take all these risks. We don't mind the danger of what he does. And it's kind of the way we play, and it is the way we play. And me saying, I'll just wheel him out until he gets good again, that's a little bit simplistic. Yeah. But I would in this. I'd say, you go, get a performance under your belt, and then we're going to see. He's that good. We almost need to coax him into being as brilliant as he is again, in my opinion.
Just it's like if a striker's not scoring, you'd either take them out for a bit and put someone else in, or you just play them into form.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, it's hard to see, like, someone who's very much out of form, it's hard to see them getting back into form again, because you're trying to make that leap from how good they were to how bad they are now.
Yeah.
And you can't see how that's going to happen shortly. Yeah.
You've got to trust world-class players to work it out, because that's how they've gotten to that stage of their careers. And the problem is, in this game, the change of formations, exactly, these are just, they're like stock cards that everyone goes to when things aren't working.
Yeah.
And look, we've been Liverpool fans for long enough to remember plenty of times when it stopped working and it never came back. But always, like, play the kids, change the formation. It's always something wild. There's no one there who's remotely good enough to cup to, you know, remotely close to Trent's ability, who plays right back. Yeah. I think Gomez might be, you know, it's a completely different style of what we're doing. He can come in and do a really good job there. It's far too soon for Ramsey. So it is, I agree on the Trent stuff. There's a degree to which you just go, mate, you maybe there's a 20 minutes off more now, because that's what we were doing with Robertson. You know, actually Gomez will come on for the final 20 minutes of the game, and that's where you're going to get your rest for a couple of weeks. But that means that you've got 70 minutes there to go and give absolutely everything, and maybe that will be another thing that just eases the burden, because you don't want to cut your nose off to spite your face. So well and good, go right, we're going to give Trent a game off, but if it totally capsizes what you're doing, what are you doing it for? He actually does need to figure it out for himself, because if he can't figure it out for himself, then he won't. Not if any of these players can't figure it out for themselves, then maybe they're not as good as they think they are.
Yeah,
but they are, so they will. So you do have to
go again. Yeah. The real problem isn't if we keep Trent off, and where does he get his form from if he's not playing, quite frankly? It just doesn't happen, does it? And Tsimikas is another one who goes again, doesn't he, because of the Robertson stuff.
The midfield's interesting because obviously Thiago played the game, the full, plays the full game, doesn't he? Or pretty much. Obviously Hendo gets a little bit of time. I wonder, Mick, whether there's a case here for Fabinho to come out. Because I think he's been, and I love Fabinho, and I hate saying this, I think he's been shit this season. Like, I think he's been really bad. I thought he was great in the second half against Ajax, and I think that's been about it for him this season.
Yeah, it's one of them, like you said, like the goals we've been conceding, you're always looking like around that area, and obviously Fabinho does cover a lot of ground, and when the other midfielders and the attackers aren't doing the right thing, running at the right triggers and stuff, it, like you said, it's a pack of cards falling over, and it makes the people that are quite vulnerable anyway. Even when we're in good form, we can get countered. Fabinho can do something wrong or be in the wrong position, and they can score. So when we're obviously playing bad and drawing games, losing games, it's obviously highlighted a lot more. But I agree, it does look like he's running in treacle sometimes, and I feel like it's one of those like where you could bring him out, throw Hendo there, and just maybe give him a little break. But then it's like we're saying with Trent, does it then send the wrong message? Like you're trying to play someone into form, and you're trying to give the managers and the coaching staff trying to give these players confidence to go, right, we need to fix this, how are we going to fix it? And then you go, oh, by the way, you're not playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's like one of them, what do you do? And it's like, either way, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. If Trent and Fabinho are on the bench tomorrow, it's like, well, they've been took out because they're not playing well.
I just think they're both suffering tremendously from the fact that there's just no understudy. So there's two things. There's no understudy in terms of rest, but there's no understudy in terms of challenge.
Nope.
You know, Fabinho's got, you know, and it's different. You know, Liverpool bring in Tchouaméni in the summer, and all of a sudden there's a guy there breathing down Fabinho's neck. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing where Jordan Henderson, you know, we brought in Oxlade-Chamberlain and he rose to challenge. Gini Wijnaldum, we brought in Keita. Mm-hmm. And they rose the chance and they kept their places.
Yep.
Their levels went up for having that real challenge. And again, it goes back to recruitment, which, look, we can't sit here and, you know, lament too much. It's done now, the decisions have been made. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's got to be someone there to give these lads a kick in all kinds of different ways. And Fabinho and Trent are the ones who I think have most heavily suffered because, they both look, and I will just trust it's a bit of mental fatigue and coupled with physical fatigue because they're both brilliant, and I don't think either of them are deliberately going, well, fuck this. But I wonder whether this is a game where you tell Jordan Henderson, you're right, Jordan's playing in the six here. But it does open the question of who's then the right sided midfielder. Is it just Harvey, and is that enough for this game? Possibly. Let us know if you're watching live. Let us know in the comments. We're going to pick our 11s in a moment. We're going to pick our Betmate teams next, but we have got a super chat from a guy called Robbie Brown, who says, I'm a Scottish Red and Rangers have been bizarre to watch this season. Against talented ball playing teams, they struggle to keep up with the pace. Good. Well, if we can go back to being that, then that bodes very well for us. Right, gents, you want to get your let's pick our Betmate team for this week. So yes, for those who want to get involved, download the BetMate app. It is a £5 game, £500 pot for Rangers this week. You can scan the QR code to get on. You can use the link in the description underneath, or you can just search BetMate in your whatever app stores. You've done this through you here, Dan, but we will be translating this to the Red Men team as well. Because to be fair, the guest teams have been going really well. So, you know, you're probably not doing a bad thing by calling upon the wisdom of the crowds. Yeah. Right, so yeah, the rules are, so you pick a goalkeeper, two defenders, two midfielders, two forwards, and then your bench. We can only have six of the seven be Liverpool players. So goalkeeper, pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
Alisson Becker.
Yeah,
easy.
Defenders.
Let's have a look who we got. Well,
Are you gonna go with Trent?
It's Trent's always the tap in here, isn't he?
Like, we should be.
Yeah. Is he still?
I don't know, you know.
Go on.
I don't know. I think we go Virgin Tsimikas, I reckon.
Costa Tsimikas. If you filter by the little drop down bar and go by last five games.
One thing I will say on this is James Tavernier for them is a huge part of what they do.
Yeah.
So if we need one Rangers player anyway, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced on any of the midfielders.
Yeah, go with him then.
Go with him and Tsimikas?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah, okay.
Bold. This is, no one else is doing this.
I mean, Matip's more than capable of scoring from any anywhere, anywhere. There's mad runs, but yeah. I think Simicast delivery, hopefully.
And he's just guaranteed start as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so move on to midfield. We don't think Fabinho's going to start, do we? So he's not involved in the conversation. We've got our range of players, so don't talk about any of them. I think Elliot does start.
Okay.
I think Elliot does. Because if Fabinho doesn't, Henderson automatically goes into the
sixth.
I mean,
listen, there's every chance Fabinho starts. Just, you know, we've been talking about
it. Do you think?
Yeah, I think Elliot and Thiago. I think that's, I know, like you said, another tap-in, really.
Thiago, okay.
It's fine. Why is Thiago like a red at the bottom?
I know he's got a little thing next. I don't know. I was trying to work that out for my team. I've no idea. Don't worry about
it.
He
didn't do anything, is he?
No, not to my knowledge.
I mean, he is constantly on the cusp of being injured.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, just a little reminder. Yeah. You know this is Thiago. There's a good chance that he will be injured at some point. Yeah.
Are you sure you want to put Thiago in your team? Yes.
Okay, so and the two forwards? Mo?
Yeah.
Well, we've got choice now all of a sudden.
I know.
There's a good chance. I mean, I did some film with the Premier League at the weekend, and the lads on the shoot were going, I need to do my fancy football. Who's going to start? And I was like, Diaz is nailed on to start. I captain Jota, of course. Took it off Erling Haaland. What a bell. It goes to prove that Liverpool have got choices, so Jota, Salah, Diaz, you would say is our strongest one, but Nunes, Bobby Firmino, goal machine.
I think the one we can safely say is Salah.
Yeah,
personally, I think outside of that, there's a conversation. I wouldn't like to put money on the central option, so I might go Diaz, thinking he will definitely start.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think that's a more of a banker than it,
because I don't know about the other three. I couldn't.
It could be it's Nunes or Jota, isn't it? But it's literally 50-50 on who's going
to. Firmino get the rest.
I think so.
With Arsenal coming up at the weekend, interesting. Arsenal, interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, fill
your bench out with Rangers players.
Alan McGregor is.
Wow.
41.
Alan McGregor, sub goalie there. As I say, if you are on YouTube watching this, then you can scan the QR code on screen to download the BetMate app. When you sign up, if you use code REDMEN5, REDMEN and the number 5, you'll get £5 in free bets, which allow you to enter one of our leagues for completely free. The pot is 500. If you want to just scroll down and save your team as well. Oh, sorry, wait, pick your captain and your vice.
Oh, yes.
Unless you made up with the idea of Thiago. And,
well, I believe you've done that this week, haven't you? Yeah.
Yes, out of pure spite and bloody madness. We'll come to that in a second.
Salah's captain, obviously. Yeah.
Captain. Done.
So and double then. Points for the captain, I believe. 1.5 points times points for vice captain.
Yeah. Okay, save that. Yeah.
Salah and Diaz as captain and vice. Good choices. Right, there we go. It's locked in. Right, okay, cool. Let's have a look then at what me, Chris, and Steve have gone with for our teams this week then. There's mine, Alisson, Kostas, and Trent Alexander-Arnold. I've gone for Thiago and Lundstrom in midfield, and Jota and Salah up front. Now, I did forget to change my captain and vice, and then Steve pointed it out, and unfortunately, because it's a weakness of mine, where like kind of being told to do something makes me not want to do it. So I might have to kind of, I might be in a bit of trouble here. So I'm sticking with that. What you can do is you can change your team right up to, I think it's like 10 minutes before kickoff. So when the team news comes out and someone's not playing, you can alter your team by all means. Anyway, let's have a look at what the other lads have done as well. There's Stacey's gone Alisson, Kostas, Van Dijk. He's gone for Lundstrom as well, and Elliot in midfield. Salah captain, Diaz, Weiss, and Pajak is Alisson, Kostas, Van Dijk. He's gone for Elliot and Jack in midfield. You can tell how much I know about Rangers by the fact that I've not said anyone's first names when I've mentioned the players. Darwin Núñez and Diogo Jota. You've gone Darwin Núñez, captain. It's a bold strategy from Chris Pajak. Let's see if this one pays off. what do we think? What's your 11 going to be for this one then, Mick?
Now where to start? So obviously Ali in goal. I'm on the side on Trent, you know, but I think Klopp, I wouldn't start Trent, but I think Klopp will. So I think he'd go Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Simicass, Elliot, Henderson, Thiago. Then I think he goes Diaz, Nunes, Salah.
Is that Diaz, Nunes, Salah? I'm in agreement with the rest, though. I might go with Joe Gomez over Matip.
Over Matip.
Perhaps, okay. Yeah, just a rotation wow. thing more than anything else. Okay. Yeah,
I've not even thought about that as a thing. Yeah, we've got to remember that, haven't we? That we can't just play Joel Matip.
But that's I'd like to, going back to what I said earlier in terms of asking the same players to go because we're not playing very well, but at the same time, maybe a little bit of caution, and I think that's Joe Gomez for Matip. Up front, I would be Nunes. I quite like what Chris has done there, captaining him in terms of that, because I would be Nunes, because I think, similar to, again, to what I said about Trent, you kind of need to play him into form and just get him going and get him up and running. I'm there with him now, so I'd be Diaz, Nunes, Salah, and the rest would be the same, yeah, Henderson, Elliott. I'm really gutted about not playing Fabinho.
Yeah.
I'm gutted about that. Like,
I think it's him and Henderson have got to rotate, and we saw that at the back end of last season, and that's where we're at now. If we're playing two games, we're playing a game every 3.3 days. It's mental.
Yeah.
And we don't have another one. They're our two DMs. Everyone else is a step down. They're like, hey, you can break glass and throw Milner in there. Oh, I mean, and you could put Thiago. There's lads you can play there, but for one game. But if you don't manage Fabinho and Henderson correctly, you're going to be playing someone in there for five or six games, and that's what we want to avoid at all costs. So I mean, and obviously Arthur's been building this, but he's 5 foot nothing.
Doesn't look like he's ready for that, does he? In any way, shape, or form.
Exactly. Yeah. I think there's something to. I think Trent will start. I think obviously Costas will start. I like the Matip shout, but I wonder whether you've got Gomez on the bench there, and you hopefully you've got Konate, and I would be looking to maybe take Matip out, or you're saying if Konate's ready, I'd like him to start against Arsenal at the weekend.
Okay, yeah.
It's just whether he needs a game or a little bit of a run out before
then.
If he's ready. If he's ready to start, actually probably start him for this one, and then you've got a choice between him or Matip for Arsenal, and then Gomez is there to give Trent a bit of a rest toward the back end of the game.
Yeah.
I would stick with what we've been talking about. I'll leave Fabinho out of this one. I'll leave him out of 60. He'll come on 60 for Henderson for me. Thiago nailed on. Harvey will start if that's the case, but then where's Arthur? And is he then, because ideally he should be the Naby Keita sub, and that is he comes on for Thiago at some point.
Yeah, I think so.
And then you can shuffle the pack a little bit. Maybe, you know, you can bring Fabinho in, and then you finish with Fabinho. Oh, God, Arthur. Milner. I'm starting Jota up front. I don't think Nunes should be starting games of football for us. I just don't think he's there. Not when you've got Jota, who's guaranteed goals, and we look a better team with him on the pitch than on the pitch.
Yeah.
Bobby will be a bit gutted, but again, this is rotation. This is what it is to have a squad. Let us know what your 11 is in the comment section underneath. I think Pajak's doing the starting 11 show later on, so you can get involved with that as well. We're a brief look at the other Champions League fixtures going on this week. So early kickoff on Tuesday, Bayern host Victoria Plzen, and Marseille host Sporting. They're the quarter to six kickoffs. Again tomorrow, Porto, Leverkusen, Club Brugge, Atletico Madrid, Ajax, Napoli, Eintracht Frankfurt versus Tottenham. Fascinating to see where Spurs are at in that one. Inter Barcelona has a lot of juice to it, doesn't it? And then of course us Rangers on Wednesday, Salzburg host Zagreb, Leipzig host Celtic, Chelsea host AC Milan. If they can't win, that's going to be really interesting for me, Dan, because I think we showed last year that there's a gulf in class between the top end of the Premier League and the top end of Serie A, but Chelsea are in a bit of a mess like us. We've already seen how that can be closed very quickly when the team are flying and really in form. Chelsea very much need to win that, but Potter's got one game worth of Champions League experience under his belt.
Yeah, 100%. They can't afford any slip-ups, can they? Very similar to us. In either competition, really, they need to get their own season up and running. They've had a bigger sort of change than us, quite clearly, because of the managerial situation as well. But yeah, they're another one, and they're just not quite finding a way. Even over the weekends, if they obviously get the last-minute winner with Conor Gallagher, an absolute worldie of a goal, but in terms of performances, they're not putting anything together like they have done over the last few years, and we're in a similar boat. So yeah, that's a huge game for them.
Yeah. Juventus, Maccabi Haifa, Real Madrid, Shakhtar Donetsk, Sevilla, Dortmund, Benfica, PSG, and Man City versus Copenhagen. Man City versus 3 comfortable points. Right, Liverpool, Rangers, want some score predictions before we head out, Mick. What do you think?
I just want some clean sheets in my life, to be fair.
Lovely.
But I just can't see it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Liverpool to concede first, and
hopefully not. I mean, I just keep going 3-1 every game, but yeah. Then it's like we're bound to concede, but it just depends what Rangers turn up and decide they want to do. Do they want to sit back, which would be mad, or do they want to try and attack us and try and score some goals, which is probably the best thing to do at the minute. So yeah, I'd take a 3-1, but I'd absolutely love a 3-0.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Rangers will come and play because I don't think they've got anything to lose, and that's their style. They're used to doing that in Scotland. They dominate most games up there, so I don't think that'll change in terms of the way they try and approach the game. They're actually struggling a little bit themselves for an identity at the minute. They're not quite sure where they're at, so I think we will actually do a bit of a number on them. I think things might just click, but God, I've been saying that for a long time. 3-0 Liverpool, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think it'll be 3-1, but it's whether they score first or last, because I want more than anything is just to win a football match, just to be a football game. Stop having everything be a fucking huge drama. Mm-hmm. Just score enough goals that you can relax, and then the team are dead and buried. But my only thing with Rangers is that I think this might be that game, but I don't see that they turn off at any point. No. And I wonder whether we've got what it takes to go all the way to the 90. That'll be a big tester for us, is that, you know, get the goals required to have that potential comfortable victory, but can you then dig in and make sure you get over the line? Because that clearly didn't happen against Brighton at the weekend. That'll be the new test. I hope it's 3-0, but I have a feeling, I agree, I think I have a feeling it'll be 3-1. Let us know what your score prediction is. If you're live with us on YouTube, use the comment section underneath. If you want to check us out elsewhere, you can do. Always, you can get our free content on podcasting apps as well. And if you want extra content, podcast videos, documentaries, all that good stuff, go to redmenplus.com. Club Legends, of course, are entered into the prize draws that we mentioned already. And yeah, we've got loads of amazing stuff lined up. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, let's get to 500,000 and then we can have a big party and all will be well. And hopefully the Liverpool will do the business as well, because let's be honest, life is just fucking miserable when they don't. Gents, thank you. Absolute pleasure, as always. Thank you so much for joining us. You guys are amazing. We love you and we love the support that you give us. Let's all channel that towards the Reds on Tuesday night. Smack Rangers everywhere and then go and kick Arsenal's ass. Yeah. If you want more, an extra Red Men podcast each and every week, but you're unsure what the best platform for it, well, the best platform is, of course, redmenplus.com. But if you are absolutely married to Spotify, if you cannot live without Spotify in your life, you can get the Red Men Plus podcast there now. Simply search for us on there, sign up through there, and you'll be able to access all of the new weekly podcasts from Red Men Plus directly in your Spotify app.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.